Today on Hardwired.
This is how Moses lived his life, by faith. And it makes me think of God's instruction to you and to me that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Because these Old Testament saints, everything they did by faith, by faith, by faith. And now next, the writer is going to go over some of the mighty miracles wrought by faith.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you for joining us. Last time, we closed out the first 12 verses of Hebrews 11 by observing how faith manifested itself in the lives of some of faith's heroes. And now today, starting in verse 13, the writer says they died without having received all the promises, yet with their eye of faith trustingly focused on the distant horizon. In fact, their faith was fully answered when Christ Jesus rose from the dead. I'm excited to share part two of the message, Heroes of the Faith. Let's go.
So look at verse 13 with me, and you're going to see he says that these saints he has so far mentioned died without having received all the promises. Yet with their eye of faith, they trustingly focused on the distant horizon. So let's read verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, let me quote Chuck Swindoll here. He writes of verse 13, "At this point, the writer of Hebrews sets aside the palette of paints he had been using to fill his canvas with examples of faith. He steps back, as it were, gestures at the procession of personalities he's been painting." And that would include Abel, Enoch, Noah, and particularly Abraham and Sarah. And he makes a sweeping statement. All these, he says, died in faith without receiving the promises God made to them. But wait, didn't Abraham make it to the promised land? Didn't Sarah have her promised child, Isaac? Yes, but what they experienced in this life was merely a foretaste, a shadow of things to come. Abraham didn't receive the full promise, just a down payment. Abraham and Sarah had only one child, and yet God's promise to them was for descendants as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. In 1 Peter 4, Peter writes again, "For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." So those saints, ladies and gentlemen, dear church, listen to this. This is powerful. Those saints that had waited for centuries and centuries and centuries more in paradise rejoiced to hear of the Lord's finished work. He went there and declared his victory to them, preached to them that the cross was finished. His sacrifice was complete. It was done. Redemption was a done deal. And because apart from that, they couldn't be made perfect. But now they're rejoicing in paradise because Jesus Christ went and preached to them. And that's one of the things he did while his body lay in that tomb. The Bible goes on to suggest that they were carried by Jesus to heaven following his resurrection. Ephesians 4 verse 8 says, "When he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity those in Hades captive and gave gifts to men." Jesus took them out of the good part of Hades and carried them into glory. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Jeff, what about the bad part of Hades? What about the people that are there, like that rich man? Well, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that when the great white throne judgment happens, at the end of time, when God is about to wrap everything up, and Jesus sits on that awesome throne of judgment, the Bible says that death, watch this, and Hades spew up the dead that are in them. And they are all brought before the judgment of God. So Hades is still completely populated by the souls of people who have died without Christ, died in their sins, died having rejected God's solution. They're there. And they will never come out until the great white throne judgment. And then Hades will spew them up. The sea will also give up the dead that are in it. And so the sea, those that have drowned in the sea, the souls that are in the sea, will give up the dead that is in it, and death and Hades, the dead that are in them. And they will all come before God, and the books will be open, and the book of life will be open. And if your name is not found written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the final hell. That's what the Bible says. Jeff didn't write that. That's what the Bible says. Matthew's gospel records that some of the Old Testament saints literally came out of their graves and walked around Jerusalem following the resurrection of Christ. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 reads, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, so nobody could say a man did it. So it started way at the top and was ripped down by the very hand of God. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves," watch this, "were opened, and many bodies of the saints," what saints? The Old Testament saints that had been in paradise, that were waiting for the final work of Christ to be accomplished on the cross. They came out of their grave. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. I don't know which ones they were. It might have been Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, who knows? But many of the Old Testament saints that had waited in paradise, their spirits came back into their bodies. They came out of their graves. And as resurrected men and women, they walked around Jerusalem for many days. That is so powerful. Now that Jesus' work of redemption is finished, the Old Testament saints have been made perfect, including Abraham, who died in faith, saying, "This world is not my home. I'm looking for the city whose builder and maker is God." Well, guess what? He's there now. Jesus took him there. Centuries after he died, Jesus took him there. Now, because of time, let's just read through some of the mighty acts of faith that God's Hall of Faith heroes engaged in. First, the writer covers the faith of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So look at verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, and let's just read what some of these saints, these Old Testament saints, accomplished by faith. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.'" And verse 19 tells us about the incredible faith of Abraham. Look at this. "Abraham concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Abraham had already decided, if God allows me to follow through with this and I take the life of my only son, I believe God's going to raise him from the dead because he is the promise of God to me. He is my heir. And through him, all my descendants are going to come and ultimately Messiah. So I believe that God can even raise him from the dead. That's amazing faith. Verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Verse 21, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff." Verse 22, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones." This is powerful. When Joseph was dying, he had been there in Egypt all of his adult life, and now the children of Israel were multiplying. And Joseph fully believed that his descendants were going to return to the promised land. He was so convinced of it that he gave instructions concerning his bones. When you are delivered from Egypt and go back to the promised land, be sure you take me with you. Powerful faith. Then next, the writer explores the faith of Moses. Starting at verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood when the Passover lamb was put on the lintels of the doorposts. By faith, he instructed the children of Israel to apply that blood, believing fully that the death angel would pass over them. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. This is how Moses lived his life, by faith. And it makes me think of God's instruction to you and to me that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Because these Old Testament saints, everything they did by faith, by faith, by faith. And now next, the writer is going to go over some of the mighty miracles wrought by faith. Look at verse 30, chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, verse 31, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And I read recently that when they excavated Jericho and they found the wall that had crashed down, there was one section of wall that inexplicably had not crashed down, but had remained standing. And the Bible tells us that Rahab's house was on the edge of the wall. And God had said, Rahab, if you put out that scarlet thread, which represented the blood of Christ, if you put it out the window and you get all of your family gathered with you in your house, when my people come and I deliver them from Jericho and I let them take Jericho and they conquer Jericho and the wall comes crashing down, Rahab, I'm going to spare you.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
And so there was Rahab with her family hunkered down in their house as the children of Israel surrounded and walked around Jericho and finally blew that trumpet and all the wall came crashing down, but one section did not come down, did not crash, was preserved by God. And I believe that was Rahab's house. When everything else came crashing down, her house did not come crashing down because it was founded on a rock, and the rock was her faith in the word of God. And so when it says by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish, there's a story behind that is so powerful. And you and me, though the whole world comes crashing down, when your faith is in Christ, he will preserve you. He will keep you. He will watch over you. He will protect you and send his angels to guard you and hold you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What a powerful, powerful statement in Hebrews 11, verse 31 about Rahab. Then verse 32, He goes on, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, watch what they did. They subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions," a reference to Daniel. "They quenched the violence of fire," a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "They escaped the edge of the sword," I believe a reference to David. "Out of weakness, they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, as did the widow's son." The widow's son was raised to life by Elijah. She received her dead brought back to life again. And you can almost hear the writer saying, nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible to him who believes. You know, we ought to thank God for that, because this is an incredible catalog of the great miracles wrought by faith. But you know what? As the chapter winds to a close, he's really going to shift gears here. And we come to another group of faith walkers. And I want you to pay real close attention, because people that teach on faith never go to this part of Hebrews 11. Because we don't like this part of Hebrews 11. But for me, it is an incredible testimony of the power of faith. These saints of God that he's about to mention did not receive miracle deliverances or healings or breakthroughs. These faith walkers endured suffering and death by faith. They endured by faith the hardest of times. Starting at verse 35, Hebrews 11, look at it with me. "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings." That means being beaten, being whipped like Jesus was whipped. "Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder," or sawn in two. And I believe that's talking about Isaiah. "They were tempted, were slain with the sword, as was James. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth." That's got to be talking about David when he was running from Saul. And also the hundreds of God's prophets during the days of Jezebel were hiding in caves to avoid martyrdom. Verse 39, "And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." Now, listen, when it says they received a good testimony through faith, it's telling us that God looked at them and not only testified about them, but he testified to them. He let them know that their faith had honored him. Now, I want you to take note that many of the people that teach on faith in our day would have looked at these people tortured, mocked, scourged, chained, imprisoned, sawn in half, literally, tempted, killed with swords, destitute, no place to lay their head, afflicted, tormented, wandering in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Many people that teach on faith in these days would look at them and say, well, they didn't have good faith. Because if they had good faith, they wouldn't be in those situations. And that's where I want us to understand tonight, that's not true. Faith does not guarantee comfort. Faith does not guarantee good times. Faith does not guarantee ease in Zion. Faith does not guarantee abundance. It does not. And that's why this part of Hebrews 11 is so important, because it lets us know that you can walk by faith and have some really tough, hard, harsh experiences. And God amened their faith as much as he amened the faith of those that had great miracles and great breakthroughs. The bottom line here is this: it takes just as much faith, if not more, to endure hardship and even martyrdom as it does to receive a miracle deliverance. The truth is that sometimes God delivers us out of a trial, like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel out of the lion's den, and the three Hebrew children out of the burning fiery oven. We love reading those stories. We love it, and we teach them and preach them way more than we do this latter part of Hebrews 11. Sometimes God does do that, delivers us out. But we also need to understand that sometimes he delivers us in it. He delivers us through it, just like he did these precious people of whom the world was not worthy. And they went to the same heaven the first group did and got the same rewards the first group did. See, some of you are going through a really tough time now. And maybe you've heard a message that if you had really good faith, you wouldn't be experiencing this. No. Listen, God gave you faith. God told Paul the apostle, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And so Paul said, therefore, I'm going to rejoice in my troubles and perplexities and distresses and all the things I'm going through for the cause of Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Sometimes God allows us to go through some very tough times. A couple of days ago, I rode my bike like I do several times a week, and the wind was really blowing. And I went about 20 miles, and the first 10 miles, that wind was against me. And I remember thinking, man, this is really hard. I mean, going against this wind, it was probably a 15, 20 mile an hour wind. It was just a really strong wind. And I was going straight into it. And it made for hard pedaling. But here's what I knew. I knew that even though I didn't like it as much as going with the wind, I knew that it was going against that wind and that resistance that was going to make my legs stronger. And if I never wanted to develop muscles, then I would always find a way to go with the wind, where I was being carried and not having to press in or press through. But no, that's not what I want. I want both. And so what I do when I go to ride my bike, I always figure out which way is the wind blowing, and I choose to go against it on my first half so that when I come back, I'm going with it. Because I want that first half to work me, and I want to use my best strength on that first half. Listen, God allows us to go through the tough times where we're not delivered out, but we're having to believe God, get into the Word, like this coronavirus trial we're all experiencing right now. I don't like these headwinds. I don't like not being able to meet with you. I don't like not being able to come in here and see our sanctuary full of people and worship God with you. I don't like it. I don't like what this is making me experience. But I do know it's driven me into the Word. It's driven me into prayer. And it's gotten me in some ways closer to my congregation than I ever was before. And I know the day is going to come when we're going to flow with the wind for a change. But until then, our faith muscles are getting stronger. And that's what I want you to understand regarding this second half of Hebrews chapter 11. God will allow us to go through faith muscle working times that will develop us in a way that going with the wind would never do. Either way, every believer in Christ Jesus is called to walk by faith and not by sight, in good times and bad, easy times and hard. And so praise God. Thank God for this beautiful chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And guess what? Next time we're going to be in chapter 12, and it's so rich. Listen carefully. You don't want to miss this, because we're going to be looking at the race of faith and God's discipline and how God disciplines his children. And it's going to be an encouragement to you, not a discouragement. It's going to help you to understand what you're experiencing right now. God bless you until next time.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call, 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. Let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.